Welcome to Ad Bible, an audio daily devotion from the Ezra Project. Alan J. Huth shares a Bible passage with comments from over 35 years of his personal Bible reading journals and applies the Word of God to our daily lives.
Today we begin the book of 1 Timothy. I usually refer to my English Standard Version Study Bible book introductions when I start to introduce a new book to us, so I will do so again today. And I've learned that 1 Timothy was written by Paul in the mid-60s AD, possibly after his first imprisonment in Rome at the close of the book of Acts. Tradition states that Paul may have been released after a few years, did further mission work, and was imprisoned a second time. He was executed under Nero in 68 AD. Paul wrote 1 Timothy to advise Timothy about issues arising at the church of Ephesus. Paul left Timothy in Ephesus, so he wrote him some instructions about how Christians should behave. False teachers are the primary problem Paul addresses, but he also grounds Christian behavior in the gospel. The theme of 1 Timothy is that the gospel leads to practical, visible change in the lives of those who believe it. While we're in 1 Timothy, we could listen for things like the most explicit teaching in the Bible that there is one God, one mediator between him and men, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see that in chapter 2. We could also find a list of qualifications for church leadership in chapter 3, and how to live a blameless life, chapter 6. After our completion of 1 Timothy, we'll move on to 2 Timothy, and we have a guest reader for both books, and that's my good friend Larry Geeling. We have been friends since our firstborn sons were in first grade over 3 decades ago. Larry has much to do with the beginning of the Ezra Project. He invited me to speak to his church men's retreat in the mid-90s. I declined, never having done something like that before, but he persisted. I prayed, "Lord, what can I say to a group of men?" And he asked me, "What would be the most important thing in your life that you could share with them?" So I created a message that became the precursor of the Ezra Project messages. I shared the power of God's Word and the value of daily Bible reading. I offered journals to the men at the end of the retreat if they committed to daily Bible reading. Nearly all took one. 7 years went by, but the Ezra Project was eventually born. Thank you, Larry Geeling, for not letting me off the hook. It's an honor to listen to Larry read on behalf of the Ezra Project and Ad Bible. So let's listen to our guest reader, Larry Geeling, as he opens 1 Timothy chapter 1 with the 20 verses of this chapter.
1 Timothy 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus our hope, to Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. As I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus, so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies, which promote speculations rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away in vain discussion, desiring to be teachers of the law, without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident assertions. Now we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, the sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine, in accordance with the gospel of the glory of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. By rejecting this, some have made shipwreck of their faith, among whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme.
I have shared before on these Ad Bible podcasts that I'm not a preacher, I'm not a pastor, I'm just a guy who reads his Bible every day and wants to see what God has to say to me. So I will share with you some of the journals that I have written over the years. I've journaled my daily Bible reading for over 30 years, and for 1st and 2nd Timothy, I've chosen a journal from 1992, a journal from 2002, and a journal from 2012. So they'll be 10 years apart, 92, 2002, and 2012. I learned about journal and English class in my high school years, and I didn't really do much of it until 1983 when I started journaling my time in God's Word, and I've done so pretty much ever since. What I share is what I wrote down after I've read a passage of Scripture and what I've received from the Lord. And that's what I'm going to share now with you concerning 1 Timothy chapter 1. In 1992, after reading 1 Timothy chapter 1, I wrote in my journal, "Goal of instruction," quoting verse 5, "love from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith." And then I wrote, "Thanks for putting me into service." And that was a reference to verse 12. And then a reference to verse 14, "Grace of God, more than abundant." My journal in 2002 indicates that I was in Thailand when I was reading 1 Timothy. So let me explain why I was in Thailand. At that time, I was serving in the Gideon's International on the International Extension Committee, and I was visiting many countries in Asia and the South Pacific. But what does it take to get to Thailand from Denver, Colorado? Let me share. I wrote, "Lost October 31st in the air. Had a good trip. Left at 7:45 p.m. Wednesday, October 30th from Denver to San Francisco. Left there at 11:45 p.m. for Hong Kong. 15-hour flight. Arrived 6 a.m. Friday, November 1st. Left at 9 a.m. to Bangkok. Arrived 10:45 a.m. about 27 hours later." So that's what it takes to get from Denver to Bangkok, Thailand. So from Bangkok, I wrote about 1 Timothy chapter 1. "Love comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith." I was quoting verse 5. Then I wrote, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service." And that was quoting verse 12. Pretty much the same verses I quoted in 1992. And in 2012, I wrote about 1 Timothy 1. "Stay in Ephesus to challenge false teachers. We don't shy away from false doctrine. We confront it and challenge it, but we do it in love. The law, the Old Testament, is good. The law defines the list of sin in the first chapter, verses 9 through 10. Without the law, how would sin and disobedience be defined? God lays out his standard of conduct. Those who are just already live within the parameters of the law. Homosexuality is clearly sexually immoral, included in a long list of undesirable behaviors." Then I quoted verse 12. "I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. This is true for me too," I wrote. "He gives us mercy, grace, and faith and love. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me." So Paul opens up 1 Timothy with saying the aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Paul also reminds Timothy and us that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners and that we can be saved by receiving his mercy. And Paul gives God all the glory when he says in verse 17, "To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." What a great place to start, 1 Timothy. Father, we thank you that your aim is love, and that you came into this world to save sinners, and that by receiving your mercy, we too can be saved and have eternal life with you. You do deserve all the glory. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.